Now, this is a frightful picture, by the way, of judgment. Why? We're told why. For the day of vengeance is in mine heart, and the year of my redeemed is come. Now, this is his judgment upon the earth when he comes, and it's defined here as the day of vengeance. And he goes on to say, and I looked, and there was none to help, and I wondered, there was none to uphold. Therefore, mine own arm brought salvation unto me, and my fury had upheld me. Now, he wrought salvation alone when he was on the cross, and judgment is going to be his solo work also. Now he says here in verse 6, and I will tread down the people in mine anger and make them drunk in my fury, and I will bring down their strength to the earth. This, my friend, is the end of man's little day here upon the earth. He's coming now in judgment to the earth. Now, there are those that will say, oh, this is frightful. I don't like the picture here. And like the proverbial ostrich, they put their head in the sand and turn over and read John 14 or some other comfortable passage. And there are a lot of comfort passages in the Bible, not only in the New Testament, but in the Old. And this is one, though, that we need to consider. We have to face up to it. He's coming in judgment the next time. And friends, can you think of any other way that he would come and set up his kingdom today? Suppose that the Lord Jesus appeared as he did the first time, the man of Galilee, the carpenter of Nazareth, and he goes around and knocks on doors and tells them he's here to take over. What do you think would happen? Suppose he knocked on the door of the Kremlin. You think they're ready for him? I don't think so. I think they'd put him before a firing squad before the sun came up again, for the very simple reason that if he knocked on the door and said, I'm here to take over, they're not prepared to turn it over to him. And no nation or no church today even is prepared to turn it over to Jesus, friends. If they are prepared, why don't they? He came 1900 years ago to this earth, and he was rejected, and he's been rejected ever since. And I can't think of any other way for him to come. Now, there are going to be some that say, yes, this is Old Testament. You have a God of wrath in the Old Testament, but when you get to the New Testament, it gets better. It all clears up, and he's just a God of love. Friends, you know one of the reasons that the book of Revelation is never popular with the liberal, and he likes to hand out the little gimmick about, well, no one can understand Revelation, it's so symbolic. Actually, the book of Revelation is the most mechanical book written in the Bible. It's easier to divide up and to outline it than any other book. It's really a very simple book. And the reason, though, that it today is largely ignored by the liberal and by a great many others is simply because the strongest language in the Bible, except that which fell from the lips of the Lord Jesus. In fact, he talked more about hell than anyone else. And the book of Revelation is filled with judgment. And it's in the New Testament. And actually, it's stronger than Isaiah. Isaiah uses what would be here figurative language to describe a terrible thing, awful thing, that his coming will be like the treading of grapes. And he's coming to put down the unrighteousness and rebellion and godlessness that's in the earth. But you want to listen to just one little segment from the book of Revelation? Just let me turn to chapter 16, and I want to read a few verses here. And I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, pour out the bowls of the wrath of God upon the earth. And the first went and poured out his bowl upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. And the second angel poured out his bowl upon the sea, became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. And the third angel poured out his bowl upon the rivers, fountains of waters, and they became blood. And I heard an angel of the waters say, thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and wast and shall be, because thou hast judged us. Now you see immediately somebody say, God's not fair, he's not righteous, he's not just to do this. God is letting you know that when he judges like this, he is being righteous. And now we're in the New Testament. Now verse 6 of Revelation 16. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. God's right in what he does. And friend, you can put that down. Now, I don't care whether you think he's wrong or not. After all, let's look at it like this. Put you and me right down here by the side of this tremendous universe we live in. Really, we don't amount to much, do we? So your opinion and my opinion, even when it's put together, isn't worth very much. But what God says is important. And when God says he's righteous and we don't think he is, that's because we're wrong. It's not because he's not righteous. God is right in this. Now, I'm not through. Verse 8, and the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun. Power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. And blaspheme the name of God, which hath power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. Now you would think all that would cause them to turn to God. It didn't cause them. It just brought out what they really were, just as the plagues of Egypt did. Now, I'm not through. Verse 10, and the fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. Now, that's in the Word of God, it's in the New Testament, it's in the book of Revelation. Now, don't tell me that the New Testament is filled with nice little comforting expressions, and it is, and that there's judgment in the Old Testament, because there is love in law, and there is law in love. And a God of love is the one who's making these statements here, and he's making it very clear. And this is, to me, a frightful picture, and you can find no comfort in this picture. He didn't intend for us to. He's coming in judgment to this earth. That is not a pretty picture at all, but that's the way the Word of God gives it, and he never asked me to apologize for him. And you know, I'm not going to apologize for him, because he'll take care of his Word. He'll take care of these things himself, and I just give out what he's given to me.